Luke chapter 16, and if you would stand with me, we'll read from verse 19 through verse 22. It says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Notice that part of verse 22 again. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." I'd like to preach a message this morning that I have entitled, "What Will Happen When We Die?" But first, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help me now this morning as I preach this message. May you empower me with the Spirit of God. May I say those things that are pleasing in thy sight. And Lord, as a result of this message, may your people be helped,
yes,
and encouraged and comforted by what lies in store for us in the world to come. So Lord, I don't know what it is at this present time your people may be struggling with, but I do know that we are at odds with this world around us. We are strangers, we're pilgrims, we just don't fit in. And Lord, for that reason, sometimes we can begin to question our faith, begin to wonder whether or not our life truly has significance. And Lord, as I preach this message, may we look beyond this life. May we look to the next life where we will be forever with Thee and realize that it's only then that we'll see the fruit of all of our labors. So Lord, bless now in this message, bless in this service, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned, the title of the message is, "What Will Happen When We Die?" And by we, I'm referring to believers. And this message will primarily be towards those who are here and are saved. Because I want to comfort and encourage the believer this morning by hoping to get you to look past what it is that we experience in this life and look to the next, at what we will have as a child of God. I don't know if you are like me and have ever pondered the question of what will happen, what will take place, what will people say when you die. I think there's a lot of people that stop and ponder that question, especially when they look at the types of things that go on with the deaths of certain celebrities. Here in our text, Jesus gives a parable, which in all likelihood is a true story. That doesn't mean we can't call it a parable. A parable is just a comparison between two things, and there's a comparison that's found in this story. And it's a comparison between the lives of two men. Jesus introduces us to a certain rich man. And here in the text, the certain rich man is said to be clothed in purple and fine linen. He has very nice clothes. He can afford those types of things. It says that he fared sumptuously. That is, he did pretty well for himself. He lived luxuriously. He lived lavishly. He lived magnificently every day, the text says. He was a man of great means. Someone might say that fortune was on his side. He had everything that this life had to offer. I'm speculating, but I'm assuming he had a nice, new, large house. He had, well, they didn't have cars back then. If they did, I'd say he probably had a brand new BMW. But instead, he probably just had a nice quarter horse that took him from place to place. He was probably a member of the country clubs there in Jerusalem, and probably sat on the board of directors for three different companies. His extracurricular activities probably included playing tennis and billiards and racquetball. He ate steak weekly and drank wine and attended the games, whatever type of games they had back then, in the box seat, not in a little squished up hard seat. His opinions, no doubt, because of his financial status, were relevant, sought after, and respected. And when he died, I can only assume that it was noticed by all the world. But then Jesus tells us about another man, and that's Lazarus. Lazarus is said to have laid at the rich man's gate. He didn't have a home. He was homeless. He was full of sores, that is, he was diseased. He desired to be fed from the crumbs that fell off of this rich man's table. In other words, he was starving. And the dogs came by and licked his sores. And it was the dogs, because no one else showed the man any compassion. It wasn't a nurse that came to his side. It wasn't a doctor. It wasn't even a humanitarian organization. It was the dogs. And only the dogs provided any comfort to this homeless man that was diseased and starving. He had no home, he had no car, he had no memberships, he ate no steak, he drank no wine, he played no games, and it appears he had no friends. And when he died, it was probably noticed by no one but the man who dug his grave. What will happen when you die? Will the world notice? Will anyone care? I don't know if you have paid attention, but the world seems to notice the passing away of certain individuals, and they make a rather big deal about it, sometimes appropriately and sometimes foolishly. I was talking with a lady at work one day last week, and she was discussing how her daughter was upset at her because she was making her wear dress shoes. And so I said, well, how come she needs to wear dress shoes? And she said, well, we're going to the funeral service for such and such. And when she said the name, I didn't know who she was referring to, but I got the impression like this was something I was supposed to know something about. And I kind of caught on and figured that it was a soldier who was killed in Afghanistan. And sure enough, when I got back to my office, I looked at the front page of the newspaper, and there it was, this Marine Corporal, Gregory Stoltz, who was from Brazil, had died in Afghanistan. And here on the front of our local newspaper was the story of this man's life and what had happened to him. And within that story, they talked about his funeral and how it was attended. This was a subsequent story. How it was attended by hundreds of people in the community, even by those who didn't know him. I got the impression that the individual that I worked with that brought his name up to me didn't know him personally, but had read about him in the newspapers or heard about him from someone else, and they wanted to go and show their respect and compassion for this family and his friends, and so they attended the funeral. There were so many people, an article said, at the funeral that they had to set up overflow rooms and feed video and audio into those rooms so people could participate in the funeral service, in the funeral procession as it made its way from the church to the cemetery. There were people lined up on the sides of the road throughout Brazil, some of them holding up signs about this man being a hero. It didn't say, but I'm sure that at some point his coffin was draped with a flag. It did say at the burial site there was a 21-gun salute. And they buried this soldier, fallen soldier, at the highest point in the cemetery to honor him. I'm simply pointing this out to demonstrate to you what took place at the death of this man, at the death of this soldier. There was a lot of attention given to it. People appreciated the fact that this man gave his life for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, and so that other people could enjoy the same types of freedoms. And so it's not wrong, in a sense, to pay tribute to this man. But what about when you die? What do you think will take place on that day? Back in August of 2009, Senator Ted Kennedy died. And when he died, it was met with front page stories in the New York Times, the Boston Globe, CNN.com, USAToday.com, and nearly every newspaper and news site in this country. In some of those stories, they rehearsed what they felt were the accomplishments of Ted Kennedy. They said that he was the brother that mattered the most. I guess oftentimes this is how Senator Ted Kennedy was referred to, because of course his brother John Kennedy was the President of the United States, and Robert Kennedy served as the U.S. Attorney General under Lyndon Johnson and a Democrat Senator in the state of New York. But because Ted Kennedy served in Congress for 46 years and placed his stamp of his impression upon this country, in that sense, they called him the brother that mattered the most. No doubt there will be many biographies written about the senator over the next few years. I simply say again that there was a lot of attention given to this man at the time of his death. But what will happen when you die? Also, in 2009, I think there were many stories, even to the fact that lots of important people, quote unquote, died in that year. Farrah Fawcett, a Hollywood actor, died in June. She was a nominee for multiple Golden Globe and Emmy Awards. She played in a popular TV series, The Charlie's Angels. If you do a little search on her, you'll also find out that her hairstyle became an international trend. But towards the end of her life, she had to fight a battle with cancer. I don't know if you pay much attention to current events, but there was a great deal of attention given to her last few months of life. There was even a video that she had made of a doctor's appointment where they broke the news to her that all of the cancer in her body was not gone, but it had reappeared. ABC aired a special episode featuring clips of Fawcett and interviews with others once she had died. NBC, Larry King, MSNBC aired tributes to her and to her life and to her accomplishments after her death. TV Land aired a mini marathon of The Charlie's Angels, and the Biography Channel aired a show dedicated to Fawcett's life as well. There was a lot of attention given to that woman and to what she did during her life when she died. The world evidently thought of her as an important figure in popular culture. Do you think that much attention will be given to your life when you die? Michael Jackson, a pop music icon, also died in 2009. Matter of fact, there's a movie out. I don't know exactly what it's about, but it appears that it's about how he was preparing for his next big series of concerts. The movie's called This Is It. Of course, when a musician of this caliber dies, they always have these never-before-released recordings. And that is true of Michael Jackson. They said the downloads of his music online spiked after his death. Perhaps people wanting to pay tribute to their music icon. His funeral service was prepared for, it seemed to me, like months, with multitudes of celebrities in attendance, and there was even the possibility of it being televised because there was so much interest in the funeral of Michael Jackson. I'm simply saying there was a great deal of attention given to this man when he died. If you were watching the television when he died, they probably had a little blip come across the bottom. Or even better yet, there was probably a newsman that interrupted the show to say, "Hey, Michael Jackson died." The web developers were busy putting out on the tops of news sites, "Michael Jackson dies." There was a lot of attention given to it. And no doubt people will talk about his life for the next 50 years. But what about when you die? Well, can I point out to you what happened when Lazarus died? He was only a beggar, meaning he had nothing of his own. Everything he ever had and possessed was a gift from someone else. That's who Lazarus was. He was a nobody. But Abraham, the text also mentions Abraham. Abraham wasn't a nobody.
Amen.
He was a patriarch. He would be the head of a nation to be, that is, the nation of Israel. A nation that has existed for thousands of years. He was the father of the faith. He is spoken of in every part of the world. He's highly regarded, not just amongst Christians and not just amongst Jews, but even amongst Muslims. He's an important man. And it says that when Lazarus died, what happened? He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And that bosom speaks of a place of intimacy and endearment. Lazarus, in his lifetime, that is his earthly lifetime, the Bible says, received evil things. He didn't receive any attention, no sympathy, no comfort, no understanding, no help, no assistance. There was no applause for that man at any point in time in his life. No one ever appeared to even notice him. He received nothing in this life. But in the next life, Luke chapter 16 says, he received good things. He died. And when he died, he was carried into the bosom of a great man. What will happen when you die? You know, as a believer, when you die, don't expect there to be any front page headlines. There may be a small entry in the obituary section of the local newspaper, but there'll probably be no headlines that you have died. Don't expect there to be any stories about your life in the evening news reports. There may be an entry in some church bulletins asking believers to pray for your family. But again, there'll be no daily evening news reports to discuss your accomplishments and influence in this world. Don't expect there to be any radio announcements over the airwaves, only maybe a couple of phone calls to notify close family and friends. Don't expect there to be anyone calculating the accomplishments of your life. No timeline events, no interviews with others explaining all that it is that you accomplished while you were here on this earth. Don't expect there to be a 21-gun salute at your funeral. Don't expect flags to be lowered at half-mast. Don't expect a burial service at Arlington National Cemetery. There'll probably be no biographies, no made-for-TV movies about your life. No, that's unlikely to happen to any of us that are here this morning, to any of us that are saved. Chances are, only a few will notice. Chances are nearly all will go about their lives in a normal manner. But this is reflective of what will happen on earth, which is really not what matters.
That's right.
What matters is what happens elsewhere.
Amen.
what happens on the earth isn't important, ought not to be important to the believer, but what happens in heaven. You know, if you are saved, you, like Lazarus, and by the way, you're just a beggar like him.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And you have nothing of your own. Anything that you possess and have come to obtain is a gift from someone else. It's a gift from God. But if you are saved, you, like Lazarus, will go to the bosom of a great man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the bosom of Abraham, but it's the bosom of Christ.
Amen.
And it speaks of a place of rest, a place of comfort, a place of peace, and a place of acceptance. The world may pay little or no regard to your death, but the one who matters most, he will notice, and he'll send his angels to carry you into his bosom. David said this in Psalm chapter 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. And you know, I'm sure that there are times in our lives where we have felt like David, that we are surrounded by trouble. David says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, when thou knewest, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I believe that that's how believers feel sometimes. As pilgrims in this world, we just don't fit in. People don't understand us. They even set, if you will, traps for us. And so David, it says, cried, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge. This world offered him no refuge. He said, Lord, Thou art my portion in the land of the living. That's about the only portion in this land that we have. He said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And you know, this world has a lot more strength, has a lot larger voice than you or I. But they're not stronger than our Savior. David said, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You know, Lazarus, in a sense, came out of prison. He was ushered from the gate of that rich man's house, which was a prison to him, into the arms of Abraham. David said again, the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Those of you that are in the ministry, or may be in the ministry, don't expect there to be too large of a tribute to what you've accomplished during your years of service on this life, even by other believers.
Right.
But again, that's not what's important.
Right.
Whether someone recognizes my influence, my impression upon this world, my love and labor for the Lord, doesn't matter. It ought not to matter. What matters is that the Lord recognizes it.
Amen.
I don't know if this text is impressionable to you as it is to me. But as I thought about this text over the last couple of weeks, I just thought, what a precious thought. When Lazarus, a child of God, died, he was carried into Abraham's bosom. If you are a child of God, you may go through hell here on earth. It may seem like you're just like Lazarus, starving, without a true home, diseased, and nobody cares. But when you die, you too will be carried into the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is a precious, precious thought.
Yeah.
Again, don't expect the world to notice your departure, but Jesus notices it. And the death of the saints are precious in His sight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And He will be your refuge. He will come and He will take you and He'll bring you into His arms. And that's when you'll find rest. That's when you'll find comfort. Don't look for your applause, folks, in this life.
Right.
Don't look for your recognition in this life, because most likely it won't come. It won't happen. Just long to be brought into the arms of your Savior.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Because like Lazarus, that's what's going to happen when you die. But can I say to those of you that might be here that aren't saved, when this rich man dies, and I believe most of us are familiar with this passage, he was not carried into Abraham's bosom. No, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. You know, there's a lot of people that get their applause in this life. Farrah Fawcett is applauded. Michael Jackson is applauded. Ted Kennedy is applauded by some. Biographies are written. Movies are shown. Special telecasts go out over the airwaves. But you know, if those people never receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, this earth is where their applause ends. And unlike Lazarus, they'll go to a place of torment, not a place of rest. So those of you that might be here this morning and you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He came to this earth to die for your sins. He shed His blood, died, was buried, and came up out of that grave after 3 days and three nights so that you can be saved.
Yes.
But you need to trust in His finished work, repenting of your sin, to truly be a child of God. And once you become a child of God, you can find comfort in this, that when you die, you will be ushered into His bosom. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for how it speaks to us. Thank You for how it encourages those of us that are saved. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would be at work here this morning, and that this message would be applicable and relevant to each and every one of us that are born again. And Lord, might we find peace in the fact that when we leave this life, we're going to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us not to look for applause and promotion in this life, being content on knowing that we're going to be with You one day. God, help us to keep our eyes affixed upon what we have off into the future rather than right now in the present. And Lord, those that are here and are lost, may the Spirit of God be at work in their hearts and lives as well. May He be drawing them unto the Savior, that they could be born again and they too could have this hope that when they die, they'll be carried into the arms of their Savior. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.